Thanks, guys, for coming to Regroup. We really appreciate you being here. This is the Connecting Adults into Community breakout. My name is Cliff, and this is my friend Jenny. We've known each other actually since I started the church, and we'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. But I've been at our church about 8 years now. I started here as a groups director at our North Point campus, and now I'm the director of adult ministries over at our church, our newest campus in Gwinnett, which is about 20 miles northeast of where we are today. And in that job, that simply means that I get to be responsible for all the things that we do for adults outside of the Sunday service. But like a lot of our folks here, I've got more than one job. And that other job is to be the North Point Ministries Director of Assimilation, which just means that I help to drive some strategy and some cohesiveness around the functions and the processes that help connect adults into community. That's about my job, but I'm also married. My wife, Tracy, and I have been married for 22 years, and we've got two kids. We've got a 17-year-old daughter, her name's Kirsten, and a 15-year-old son. His name's Trey. And then prior to coming here, I was a management consultant for about 14 years before coming to North Point. And like I mentioned, literally, I met Jenny on the very first interview I ever had at our church. I showed it up at a group link event, which we're going to talk about. And Jenny and her team are so good at what they do, they actually tried to get Tracy and I into like five groups that night. And we're like, we're not here to join a group.
But that's right.
It was great.
That's right. Well, my name is Jenny Boyette. I have been on staff here for 12 years, and they recruited me when I was about 8. So, you know, I'm only 20 years old. But my whole time I've been here, I've been in assimilation at some level or sort, and currently work in assimilation events at our North Point campus, work with married couples, singles, and have been doing that, and I love it. And prior to that work world, I planned events for the American Red Cross and the March of Dimes, and then was in sales for a staffing company. So I was one of those that, you know, I'm going to work at a church, really? What am I going to do? But now it's been so much fun and love it, so I get to combine all of that together. Personally, I'm married, and I have 4 daughters. I have triplets that are 10 and a 4-year-old. So never a dull moment. See, I'm bringing this, what's left over, home with me tonight. So if anybody...
We have 3 for the triplet. We have 4
for
you.
Oh, yeah, let's give it
home
to the girls.
Yeah, would be good.
Crazy.
Hey, Les, you've got them, right? Just take off
exactly
for the night.
Something like that. So anyway, we're thrilled to talk to you about connecting adults to community.
Well, that's great. Well, hey, we're going to jump right in onto our outline. And so we are on page 24, I believe, of your books. And that first piece of your outline, it says, our beliefs about connection highlight attention. We have a groups ministry here at our church, obviously, and we don't just have a groups ministry because we think that people want to get together in homes or that they just like groups or that we were trying to make a big church small. Those things are true, but it's not why we have a small groups ministry. You see, we have a small groups ministry because we really believe some certain things about God and our relationship with Him. And that's part of that is that we believe that we were made to be in community and we were made to be connected to other people. And so in letter A, this is part of what we believe, and you'll hear it time and time again while you're at the conference, but we believe in order to be growing spiritually, you need to be connected relationally. We don't think it's really possible for you to be in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ over a time and be disconnected or be in isolation from other people that are trying to also grow in their relationship with Him. But that also creates some tensions for us. That creates some problems. And so on letter B, connecting into intentional community is difficult for many people. Maybe you're one of those. Maybe it's been difficult for you at times. I know it was difficult in my early walk to connect with people in the community. But there are some people, you know them, that maybe it's a little easier for them to connect into community. Now, many of you have probably seen, maybe everybody in the room has seen the movie Frozen. Well, when that movie came out last year and they started running commercials, you may have noticed that the first character that they introduced you to was the most likable character in the world, the snowman named Olaf. Right? Everybody remember Olaf? Now, you've never met a person who doesn't like Olaf, right? Well, actually, my friend Jenny, in all the good ways, is a lot like Olaf.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Just surprised
and
her
I
with
like
that.
I like warm hugs, so
yeah,
there
see?
You go.
She really is. Now, I have honestly never met a person who doesn't like Jenny. And honestly, I think if I do, it's probably got a lot more to say about that other person than it does about Jenny. You kind of know what I'm talking about, right? And so part of that, though, is for Jenny, it's really easy to meet people. and it's really easy to connect. She could probably get to know all of you in the next couple hours and enjoy doing it, and when she left, she'd be still full of energy, and it wouldn't even be just the monster that she just drank doing it. And so some people, it's real easy.
Yeah, but others, it's not. It's more difficult. You're more introverted, and meeting people or actually thinking of going to church just to go to a service is intimidating, much less trying to get connected into community. And we really believe, letter C, that the church has an opportunity to create systems and environments that helps people connect. And I would even go more than opportunity, as it's a responsibility. I feel like it's a responsibility. You've been around these halls, North Point and Buckhead, all of our campuses, they're big. We're a big church. And I feel like we have a responsibility to make it seem smaller and to really provide an opportunity for that connection. And so it's fun.
Yeah.
To do.
And so the primary way that we address that tension here at our church is through an event that we call Group Link. Many of you have heard about it already. You heard Andy talking about it this morning, and he discussed a little bit of what happens at Group Link. But you wouldn't really be able to come to our church for very long if you just walked the halls on a Sunday and you asked people at the information table, but then if you also just asked randomly different attenders, hey, how do I jump in a small group here? I'm betting that a vast majority of the people would say, well, that's easy. Just go to Group Link. Happens in January and August. I bet you they'd probably even tell you when it really does happen. Now, it's taken us a long time to get there. That didn't happen overnight. People didn't get used to that answer and get used to telling that to other people, very quickly. But it has happened, and it's just now part of the fabric of who we are. It's part of our DNA. But when it comes to the people that are not in groups at our church, we really don't view everyone the same. That would probably be a little too easy, but we don't quite think it would be fair. And so what Group Link does is it really helps to address the people that are closest to really wanting to be in community. They've probably bought off on the idea of groups. They've probably already said, yeah, I really want to get in a group. That'd be a great thing for me. I've just got to figure out how. Maybe they need us to help with one or two barriers. Maybe they just need to meet some people. So Group Link is designed for that group of people that are right on the edge that we can easily kind of encourage into community. Now, there's obviously a lot of people that are not like that at our church. We're going to talk about those folks in a little while. But before we do, we're going to dive into Group Link a little bit. And letter A under Roman numeral 2 in your outline is Group Link's an event that allows people to connect with others in their same stage of life and area of town to form community groups. But Jenny has been doing this now for like 12 years. She's somewhat of our queen of Group Link here at our campuses.
The Olaf now.
So Olaf, queen of Group Link. We're going to give her all kinds of titles tonight.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us about it? Because you've forgotten about it more than I know.
Well, how many of you, just to get a show, have done some sort of connection event at your church or have done a Group Link? Okay, so a good number of you. Basically, we just through the years have morphed into the event Group Link, and we've done it a lot of different ways. But what we've found is different campuses do it a little bit different. Some it's 90 minutes, other it's 2 hours, depending on the number of people coming in. But really, it's just an environment that allows people to connect and gives them the opportunity to meet each other, to meet group leaders. We usually leave a lot of space for people to walk around, meet group leaders, and that type of thing. We actually have a video that is, what is Group Link? So I can let you see it, and then we can talk a little bit more about it. So if you will roll the video.
You're ready to step out of your row and into a circle because you want to pursue healthy relationships and spiritual growth. It's time to go to Group Link. There's something about meeting people face-to-face, making that initial connection, that makes Group the place where people can experience accountability, belonging, and care, where people can connect and grow. That's why there's Group Link, an event where you'll meet people in your stage of life and area of town, form a group, and get to know each other a little bit. There's only two things you need to know when you show up: what area of town you'd like your group to meet in, and which nights of the week you're available. From the time you show up to the time you leave, there will be a team of staff and volunteers to walk you through every step of the night. If you want us to, we'll even break the ice and help you make some connections. The only thing you need to do is come ready to introduce yourself to some new people. If this makes you a little uncomfortable, just remember, everybody at Group Link is there doing the same thing. One more note, trust God. He's the one who forms the groups. You never know who He may want to use to grow you, or who He may want to grow through your influence. Come to Group Link and join a group. Life is better connected.
So now you know everything you need to know about GroupLink, right? But back in the day, I actually was cleaning out. We just recently moved offices. And so some of you may not do a connection event face-to-face, but I found this very old Excel spreadsheet. And this is how we did it in the past. So you can see all my colors. We, like, you know, categorized it by their stage of life, their area of town. And this was so hard. And I think Cliff said in the last Q&A that you did, that opportunity for people to meet face-to-face and actually take ownership of the group they're picking, this, I placed people, if you will, into group. And so they could blame us if it didn't work out so much. But that face-to-face connection where they shake hands and they choose their group, the ownership becomes theirs. And so they, if they made a bad choice, that's on them. I didn't Excel color them into a group. So it's given us the opportunity to really let them take the ownership and choose it. Now, there is that level of, oh, is this going to work? I mean, you know, our numbers are large, so we'll have several hundred people, up to 600 people at an event. And it is always amazing. We have to trust God, like the video said, and leave it open. Because by the end of the night, to be able to be up on the stage, literally there are circles everywhere. And there's that moment at every group link that it's like, is this really going to work out? Like, ooh, okay, Lord. And it isn't perfect by any means, but it is amazing the number of people that are able to connect in a short time, in that 90 minutes, in that 2 hours. And you just provide a little bit of food, some drinks, you know, maybe not a Monster, but some waters and sodas, and just let them go at it and mingle. And you just provide a little bit of structure through the process. So we have a group link starter kit. And if this is anything that you're interested in starting at your church, it has all of the logos. We show videos to kind of guide people through the night. We literally took my computer and kind of just plugged it in to this USB, and everything important, promo plans, videos, everything went into this little video or this little USB port. So if you're interested in starting something, who wants to start a group link at their church? Okay. You guys have some t-shirts, so I'm going to toss this to the lady in red. So this is your gift from me. Okay. Let's see. I like to toss, but I'm bad. Sorry. Okay. So you take a look at that, and they have them for sale in the Connection Center. But literally, it's really easy to get started. And I know one of the things Bill said is to contextualize it to your church. And what we found is you can do a group link with 25 people. Church, you know, it was really group link, we would just have, you know, 25 people go to a house for dinner and go, oh, okay, who wants to meet on a Tuesday night? You go into the living room. Who wants to meet on a Sunday? Go into the breakfast room. So you can form groups face-to-face if you don't have a lot of people, so.
Yeah, it works. Yes. And it's surprising, too, because as Jenny said, there's that point in time and night where we're like, is this going to happen? And it just does. And people sit down, and they form groups, and they end up walking away together, and it's awesome.
And they're smiling most of the time when they leave, so it's good.
But another important aspect of what we do around GroupLink has to do with the timing. And so letter B in your outline is we strategically position GroupLink events in January and August based on the rhythm of our culture. See, part of what makes GroupLink work is an audience that's large enough to kind of have enough selection or have enough options for people. But we have, as Jenny said, we've actually had GroupLinks that are much smaller than you might think. But what we found that with all the rhythms of our culture here in the Atlanta area, the January and the August timeframe really make the most sense for us to start group links. And the biggest reason is because people start things just sort of naturally at the beginning of the year. Maybe it's a New Year's resolution or it's something like that, that they want to dive into new stuff. And then for us, it really has to do with the start of a school season when they're ready to join in also.
Well, and on that note, at one of the first drive conferences that we had at North Point, I was, you know, selling, do group link. And this woman came up, she is at a church in Minnesota, and literally she got my email and I guided her through it. And she did her first one the same time we were in August. And she called me the week after and she was like, Jenny, it was awful. And I'm like, oh, why is it so bad? Well, I didn't realize the Midwest doesn't start until after Labor Day. So for them to do a group link in the end of August, people were still at the lake and they weren't even there. So strategically, this works for us, but you have to put it into what works best in your area. And if you have a big holiday, if you're in a different country, or there's something other than the school calendar that kind of is the rhythm of your culture, definitely do that and don't follow this because it would bomb and I would feel really bad.
So we also, we used to hold group links actually much more often during the year. We used to hold them in January and August, as we do now, but then we also used to hold them in March and in October to kind of catch those folks that just kind of missed those two. But one of the things that we found out is the groups that formed out of those group link events didn't turn out to be quite as successful in the others. Now, the group link events were a little smaller, but that's not what it was, because this has worked for us in kind of a smaller way. But what we found out through feedback over time is when people start a group in March and in October, at least for us, there's not really enough time for their relationships to kind of gel and for them to really get to know each other before that first big break in the summer or in December. And so they'd meet for a couple of weeks and then things would just kind of fizzle out. And so that was kind of an unusual thing, but we really felt it had to do with more of the timing and the traction that they weren't able to gain at that point in time of year.
Yeah, well, and another thing, letter C, that GroupLink offers us is a solution to a challenge that we've not found any other way to solve. And I know none of you have this problem. However, number one, GroupLink enables connection regardless of leader availability. So I'm sure all of your churches have leaders like ready to go, right? No, I know that's not true. But believe
Neither
it or not, I know, believe it or not, we don't either. So you may have been in the last breakout that was in here, and we talked a little bit about what that looks like. But we did not want to get to the place that we had to turn people away. So when they would come to GroupLink here, we promoted it, we marketed it, they're bought in, those people that were that low-hanging fruit that Andy just needed to cast vision, and they decided, yeah, let's do it. We're ready to get involved. We didn't want to say, oh, no, sorry, we don't have a leader for you. So one of the things that it's morphed over time was we developed formative groups. So these are groups that will form without a leader. And I know that seems risky, and it is risky, and it can be a little challenging at times, but it really gave us that ability to go ahead and form the group and talk to the group as it formed at GroupLink. We have volunteers or staff members that walk with them at GroupLink to really guide them in what that looks like. And so our starter groups are 8 weeks, and they have a study that they go through. And our formative groups are also 8 weeks, and they have a separate study that they'll go through that really guides them in what the formative process looks like, how to nominate a leader. We actually have them nominate a leader. It's not always the person that's nominated that then is picked as the leader, but the staff members walk through with them step by step to make sure they're an approved leader and able to guide the group and all that. So it's good. Two was the groups form without, the form without leaders are called formatives. And then three are the group's directors, which is a staff, walk alongside each group to help identify a leader. So Cliff, you did this when you first started for years, and you actually sat across these formative groups, these leaders that were like, what just happened? I just went to GroupLink and now my name is on a form, and what does that mean? So why don't you talk with us not only what it looks like on the formative side, but as a leader that's already been recruited, a starter group leader.
Sure. Well, as Jenny said, it does offer kind of a unique situation for us. And when I was hired at our churches, I was hired as a groups director. So the first 4 years that I was here, I just sat across the table from other leaders and helped them kind of with their groups, kind of helped them through challenges they were having, and just kind of helped them do the best to create an environment that people would enjoy and be fair, just feel safe sharing and feel comfortable in. And so as part of that, though, my job was to also recruit leaders, but then also walk alongside them in groups. But a formative group to us is really no different than a starter group, at least in the amount of attention that we're going to give that group after it leaves GroupLink. In fact, for a formative group, we actually might spend even more time with them when they leave, because the last thing that we want a leader or a formative group to feel like at our church is that they're actually doing ministry on an island. We don't want them to feel that way at all. We want them to feel like we really have their back. So the groups directors at our churches, they really do sit across the table from folks day in and day out. And that's their primary responsibility that they fulfill here at our church. And in doing so, though, one of the things that I really enjoyed is sitting across from a contact person or a person who is thinking about leading a formative group were actually some of the more enjoyable experiences I'd get to have, because they were the ones who were really, they were bought in as much as anyone. They had just experienced this GroupLink night. They'd connected with some other people, maybe around where they lived, and they really wanted to make this group work. And so now they were here just kind of wanting to talk about, well, what is group leadership look like? What do you expect of me? What does this process look like? And it was just fun to get to know them, and they really did have a vested interest in what was going on. When this first started, though, we were skeptical and pretty scared, to say the least, about how is this going to work? Like, we're going to start groups without leaders. It seems a little crazy. But honestly, it's worked out in a great way. It's far more successful than I think any of us would have ever guessed. And I think one of the reasons is because that group comes to GroupLink. Those couples start to form some sort of relationship. They start to meet outside the church. And then even that couple, you know, you'll have a couple, or maybe you'll have a man or a woman that'll come to an event, and they'll think, I could lead, and they're probably qualified, but maybe they just don't have the margin right now. Well, after meeting and actually connecting with other couples, they're kind of like, man, I don't have a choice. I really want to do this now. Because now it's not just six or eight other people that they're thinking about. It's Tim, and it's Susan, and it's Mark, and it's Trisha, and these are people with names to them now. And so they have, I think, even more vested interest in making it work.
Well, and it's been our biggest leader recruitment tool.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, we walk away, and so it provides so many leaders that we didn't have. And one of the things, like I said, when we kind of just slowly tiptoed into the water of really saying this is a process, we kind of shied away from that for a while. But now, even at GroupLink, we let people know on the front end. In the preview room of GroupLink, when we kind of cast the vision of, hey, this is what tonight's going to look like, we say, some of you are going to join a group with a leader, and some of you are going to join a group without a leader. Like, it's not a bait and switch. We just put it right out there and say, we're not going to have enough leaders for everybody. We are thrilled everybody's here, but let's just go in and leave it up to God, and we're going to walk with you if you end up finding six other couples or 10 other individuals that you want to be in a group with. So we just try to make it seem really as seamless as possible. It's just two different options that you have. So, mm-hmm. Yay.
A couple of the statistics, a couple of the things that we think about with these groups, about 85% of the groups, maybe even a little closer to 90 now, of the groups that start at GroupLink with a leader end up going on for a long-term experience. And just to put a little bit of a statistic to the success of the formative side, it's a little over 80% in the cases of the groups that form without a leader. So as we were talking, it really doesn't turn out to be that much different. And that was one of the things that surprised us about the whole process. But GroupLink, as we were just talking, that's our big event. That's for the folks that are closest to community. We don't need to encourage them all that much. Maybe they just hear that message from Andy, or they get that last bit of encouragement from him on some weekend. GroupLink's coming up, and they decide, you know what, we really need to do this. We're going to dive in. But that doesn't really do justice to explaining all the people that come to our church and how we serve the folks that aren't quite ready. And so in order to do that, we've actually asked for some volunteers in our audience. These 10 folks in the front, they look color coordinated, and they are, but they're actually serving an even bigger purpose. Will you guys stand up and just turn around and face the audience where you are? This is a representative sample of the people who come to our church.
Okay? Don't they look good?
In this case, there's only in this case there's only two women. I don't think it's that representative, but
no,
just kidding.
Women power.
Okay, but these are the people that come to our church. This is the mix of people that I'll explain in a minute that we experience. Now, you probably have this same sort of groups of people. Maybe the mix isn't the same, but my guess is the groups are. Now, these folks on your left, the folks in the gray shirts, these are the obedient people, okay? These are the people who are doing what Andy is asking them to do day in and day out, and they're jumping in a community group. So it's a little bit under 50% of the people at our church that are connected into community. And so that's that group of folks. Part of these people go to GroupLink when they're in between groups, when they're going from one group to another. So that's where GroupLink starts to affect. And then we have another group of folks on the opposite end, the groups in the white shirts. These are the folks that are the furthest away from community in our church. They've made the intentional decision maybe not to get in a group right now. But here's the thing. That's okay. We still want them to coming into our churches. In a lot of cases, they've only been coming to our churches for a short period of time. Maybe they're seekers. Maybe they're not believers at this point in time, and they're just checking us out, and they're trying to figure out, who is this Jesus guy you keep talking about? So we definitely want them at our churches. But through talking to the folks that are not in group, a couple of things have kind of come up for us. We've started to understand that as we understand their lives more and the complications of their lives, if we were in their place, there'd certainly be situations where we wouldn't jump in group either, right? Everybody doesn't necessarily have time or margin or a way to get into community. And for some of the groups, for some of the people in this group, community group may not even be the next best step for them. At some point, some of them might need to actually take care or take advantage of one of our care ministries instead. Maybe they need to go to divorce care or grief share, or maybe they need a counseling referral. But in this case, not all these folks are ready quite yet.
Or if they were even ready, they may not be the best people for a group.
Sure.
They may need that support group or something else that our care ministry offers.
Yeah, absolutely. And so then in the middle, this is kind of our sweet spot. We've got about 20%.
See, they love each other.
We've got about 20% of the people that come to our church right now that have kind of told us, hey, we're not in a group right now, but it's only a few things that are keeping us out of it. Okay, so they've given us some ideas of some things that we may be able to help with. And so part of these people, part of them will show up at Group Link, but not many of them. But the other group of this 20% are really the target audience for the next thing that we're about to talk about in our short-term groups. These are the people that we've created short-term group experiences for.
That's right. Thank you, guys. You can have a seat. We appreciate your help. And you get to keep your t-shirt. So give them a round Woo-hoo! Of applause. Yay, thank you. So like Cliff said, the short-term groups were really created, letter A under Roman numeral 3, as bridges to long-term community. Like Cliff mentioned earlier, when we used to do Group Link 4 times a year, the March Group Link bumped up right against summer. So when they did their try before you buy 8 weeks, and then even though 85% of those groups would continue on, the percentages fell a little smaller than in for the summer months because people just lost momentum. And then same with the holidays when we would do the Group Link in October. So we strategically decided, gosh, let's place some short-term groups to get those people that are interested. Either they said no to Group Link, they said it's too big of a commitment, we don't want to do it, or they missed it. Maybe they started coming to our church after that had happened, but they were ready to do something. And so what we did is, letter B, these groups meet for 6 to 8 weeks around a specific topic. So we really wanted to intrigue people with a topic, but give them a little shorter of a runway so that it wasn't such a commitment, to really give them a taste of community. We really felt like if they got in a circle and really benefited from not just the material, but the relationships, what we're all about, that they might be more interested in giving long-term community a try.
Mm-hmm. Well, we also launched these groups at strategic intervals throughout the year for people that are hesitant to join those long-term groups. And so given our Group Link schedule, we had to figure out what was the best time to do these. And so what we actually do is we launch short-term group seasons kind of in a February-March timeframe. And then we will have some that we'll offer during the summer. And then we'll have a third season that we'll offer really in the September-October timeframe. And what those time frames allow for is what Jenny was talking about. It allows for 6 to 8 weeks. People can jump in, and they don't have to have any expectation of what happens next. However, if they liked it, and most of them do, just like we thought that they would, they have an opportunity right after that that bumps up against another connection season, whether that be another short-term group season or a Group Link. And so they can jump right out and go, you know, that was a lot better than we thought it was. Let's just go to Group Link this time. And a lot of them have done that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
I'm sorry.
We also wanted to make it easy, though, for them to connect. And so we tried to do something a little bit different than our connection event. And in letter D, we connect people online instead of at an event in these cases.
Yeah, and what we found with Group Link and online, regardless of why they're forming, what topic, is geography is by far the most important thing, at least in the Atlanta area that people care about. Maybe you took MARTA, but Atlanta traffic is quite intense around here. And so people do not want to drive very far. They really want to be within their community. So geography by far is the most important thing for them. The second was their stage of life. So whether they're single, whether they're married, if they're married, what stage of marriage are they in? Are they just married? Are they married, no children, but past the newlywed stage? Are they married with kids? You know, are they empty nesters? And so that is a really important factor, their stage of life. And then the third, which we don't get online, but is chemistry. People wanted to be able to choose their own group. So with the online option, we can't provide chemistry via the web. But what we can do is at least give them the choice to choose their own group. So there may be, 10 groups listed, and it gives them the topic, it gives them the geography, and then they get to pick of those groups. They can look at the names of the leaders and get a sense if that feels good or not, but they're still choosing their group online. And one of the things that we noticed online is on the back end, when we started offering some of our leaders that, we just stumbled upon this as well. There were a few of our leaders that were either in housing transition or were doing remodeling or something. And so they really wanted to lead a group and we really needed leaders. However, they couldn't host it in their home. And with our community groups, a lot of times they rotate facilitation or they'll rotate homes. But with our short-term groups, we felt like for 6 to 8 weeks, it was important to have a consistent meeting location. So we offered some of our rooms of the church and some of the Starting Point rooms that some of you may have seen, and we listed those online. So it might say Betty and Sue, you know, Betty and Sue, maybe Betty and Jim. There we go. Betty and Jim Smith, whole other breakout, right? they're meeting at the church. And so it would have the church address. And what we found is that those groups that met at the church filled up first. Could it be coincidence? Possibly. But it was something we started wrestling with and going, isn't that interesting? People feel safer potentially getting connected and coming to the church. So it was something that we started thinking about and brainstorming on.
Yeah. Well, we also found through the process that we wanted to offer actually a limited number of topics for what we were going to allow these folks or what we were going to give them to study. But my guess is you guys could actually kind of guess. You have probably people at your church that might be interested in the same thing. And if you were to offer a short-term group experience, you could probably guess the topics that you'd probably be most likely to catch people with. So anybody have ideas out there? Like, what would you offer if you did the same thing?
Marriage.
Yep. So I heard marriage down here. What else?
Parenting.
Yeah. Finances. What else? What else do I hear out there?
Singles.
Okay. We've got some of that. Spiritual gifts. Okay. Well, you guys just named pretty much all of the things that we end up doing. We're actually going to give some curriculum. I heard some marriage curriculum, some staying in love stuff. We'll go down in front here. And then, we have a relationships curriculum that we can give out over in this kind of general area. But here's the topics that we actually offer. We offer a short-term group experience on finances. We offer another one on marriage, one on just spiritual growth, another...
This is my favorite.
Men's issues.
Men, do you have some issues? Because I think that's hysterical that that's in our breakout. And you need to write it down just like that. Men's issues.
Just like Jenny said.
But some of you may have heard John Woodall. We actually have just developed a new curriculum. So you men, who's a man that has an issue? Someone in the back.
Come on, guys.
Right there in the very back. I'll come and give it to you. I'm looking right at you. But this is the new...
Why don't you come on up?
Or if you want to come up and grab this. Yep, the glasses. So this is 7 questions that rattle in the minds of most men. So John Woodall just developed this small group study, and it's been incredible. And... we very much appreciate him doing this, but if you want to take a look at this, and it is a large group environment, which we'll talk about in just a moment.
We have one more that's on parenting, and actually we just added one not too long ago, so it's not even listed in your breakout yet. We do another one for singles called Love, Sex, and Dating, so it just talks about how to build healthy relationships.
Well, so real quick, before we go on to F, one of the things I wanted to mention is there's a cost involved in being part of a group. You guys have experienced it, I'm sure. But when you look at the connection process, when someone comes to GroupLink, they are making an emotional investment in getting connected. So it doesn't cost them anything, although we could charge. That would be really good.
Sure.
We don't. So people can come to GroupLink, they get connected into a group, and they've put themselves out there, if you will. So we give their curriculum away for free. And every new group that starts at GroupLink, that's a starter group, starts with this community study. So we want to give this to somebody as well. This is an 8-week front row blue. Here we go. See, advantage for sitting in the front row. So this is an 8-week study that really walks them through what community is all about. However, when you sign up for a group online, our short-term groups, we needed to balance, gosh, how do we get people committed? Because we thought if they just sign up, they may not show up. And what's important is you show up. And so we do charge for that curriculum. It's not a lot of money, but if you were to get your 7 curriculum or the Love, Sex, and Dating curriculum, you would pay online, and that's what reserves your spot online. So they have not a lot of money, but a financial investment, if you will, to show up to groups. So it's either emotional or financial. And that we found our groups actually, people show up and they continue. And the big slogan that we have is we want you to show up, we want you to join in, and we want you to be real. And so that's the 3 things that we say to people if they're getting whether in a long-term community group or a short-term community group.
Yep. So one of the things that we found, though, like I said, is we have these limited topics. We didn't want people just to necessarily go from one group to another group to another group to another group. Because remember, our goal, this is a bridge to long-term community. We want them in a long-term group over a period of time. So this isn't something they can just hang around in forever. But as we were experimenting, or as we were kind of developing these, we ended up experimenting with two different formats and groups. That's in letter F of your outline. That first one is what you might just think of. It's a traditional small group. These are groups that meet in homes or sometimes at the church, like Jenny mentioned, but they consist of a leader or a leader couple and 8 to 10 individuals or 5 to 6 couples. That's the first type of group. But as Jenny was talking about what we figured out when people started meeting at the church and when we put those groups online, the ones that were hosted at the church, we found that all those groups were filling faster than the groups that were hosted in the homes. And we started to ask around, and we started to figure out that, not really too much of a surprise, since these people are more new to community, they're much more likely just to come to a church. They've been coming here already. They're like, well, I'll go to a group at a church. It's already where I'm going. It's just a little harder for me to go to somebody's house that I don't know. And so we started to try to experiment with that. We thought, wow, how can we kind of take this to a next level? What else can we do with this idea that people would actually rather meet at a church, even in a group environment? So that brought us to letter B.
Yeah, and what we found is sometimes going into a home was too big of a step for people. But if they could come to the church, and if we could create an environment that would allow them to experience community in a circle at the church, then they might, that was a little bit of a step, and then they could take another step to finally get at somebody's home. So if you'll look at F, number two, we created large gatherings. So what this is, I feel like we were going backwards. Isn't it funny how we always swing the pendulum one way or the other, but now we're back here having groups meet at the church. But what we've done is, I mentioned the seven curriculum. So John Woodall will have a teacher or a master communicator that is explaining some topic. And we've done these, we've experimented, I believe, with just three. We've done seven for men, your men issues. And then we've done, we created an environment called Mom Matters, where we literally invited moms, and it's a six-week curriculum to talk about your purpose and time management and discipline. And it has been over the top, great. I mean, it's just, we've got 450 women. We've tried it at a couple different campuses, and it fills up, and it's been a wonderful invest and invite opportunity. We had no idea that people would then bring their neighbors. So sometimes the next step is just for them to come to church. And then the third one that we tried just this last summer was love, sex, and dating. So earlier in a couple other breakouts, you may have heard us say, you know, we don't do groups in the summer. Groups are really hard in the summer. Well, one of the things that our singles team stumbled upon is summer the singles schedule doesn't change a whole lot in the summer. You know, they're not on the, oh, what are you doing for spring break? They're off the school calendar now. So we created a large group gathering for singles and did love, sex, and dating. And what those look like is basically we can do it in this room, and we have round tables, so there's 10 to a table, and we do a little spreadsheet assimilation to try and get people, you know, in the right area of town so they're in the same stage of life, and we want to give them the opportunity to connect outside of the church, so we do look at their address to make sure they're connected with people they'll maybe run into at the store, and there's a teaching for maybe 20 to 35 minutes or so, and then they have table discussion. So really, the bulk of the evening is set up in a small group time, but they're just all together, so it's mini small groups around tables. We have some food, and then sometimes we do Q&A, and it dives deeper. We'll bring in certain experts to talk about time management or to talk about something that John Woodall is talking about with men. So it has been really popular. And the best thing about it is about 47% of those people then take a next step to get into community. So it's a littler step than jumping from a row straight into a home that has met the need of some of those people in the white shirts there.
Well, and now we're going to talk about marketing for a little bit, and Andy kind of did a lot of this for us this morning as he kind of dove into the marketing that we do for GroupLink. So, Jenny, do you want to talk about and kind of highlight some of the things that go on there?
Yeah, Andy talked about, and one of the wonderful things that we have here is that our senior leader is totally bought into groups, and so that's a huge advantage that we have, and if you're fighting that uphill battle, it's tough, and I don't have a ton. I have sympathy and empathy, but I don't have a lot of advice for that because that is just not our case. He references groups in all the baptisms. It talks about groups, but I would say our biggest group link of the year usually is in August, and it's centered around a whole promotion strategy, and Andy gives a group's message. And, you know, Andy says do it, and a lot of people, especially those blue shirts, are like, we're in. We'll do whatever we need to do. We follow our leader. And so he will do a group's message, and it amazes me every year how he can put a different spin on why community is important. And it is biblical, but he has just a very unique way of casting that vision. And we have one more giveaway. So if whose senior leader will not do a group's message? Won't do it. Okay. I'm going to give it to this gentleman. So you slip this in by his coffee. This is all, I think there's like four or five potentially of Andy's last group's messages, the outline, and he said your pastor can make it his own. So you give him that and say, if you would do a group's message, you've got your outline, you've got everything you need right here, and he can pick from, I think there's three or five of those messages on there. But that's been a huge win for our church that he's committed to promoting that every year.
Yep. A couple other things that we do throughout the season of group links and other short-term group promotion cycles. We have series websites that communicate the importance of community. That's letter B in your outline at this point. So series websites communicate the importance of community. Andy talked about this. He talked about the series websites that he throws up there at the beginning of each and every time that he speaks. And it did a couple of things for us. Andy explained that. But one thing it did is it gave our group leaders some questions that they could start to process with their groups if they wanted to. Maybe they were between studies or they were taking a break for something and just wanted to follow a series for a little while. They could do that. But that actually didn't even turn out to be the biggest and the best thing that it did for us. The best part was that Andy was up there subtly telling everybody week after week after week that groups are really important at our church. And even if he wasn't specifically telling the audience, hey, you need to jump in this is really what you need to do, he was telling people that, hey, the fabric of our church is made up of small groups. And if you haven't heard that by now, you'll catch on soon. And so it just has become part of our DNA, and you really can't come to our church for very long without knowing that our senior leader really, really takes this seriously. Some other things that we do, letter C, we utilize numerous marketing channels to augment our marketing. One is a bulletin that we give out at the beginning of each service, and sometimes we'll do bulletin inserts. We actually gave you an example. You were handed these as you came in today. This is actually just a bulletin insert from Gwinnett Church for the last group link event that we just had. You can see it's pretty simple, slides right in the bulletin, and people get these as they walk out, gives them everything they need to know about the next group link event that's coming up. So this is one part.
And what's great about that is, number two is the announcement. So whoever's doing the welcome at the church or the announcement, and like Andy said, we try to put some of the important messages between when worship ends and the prayer. And basically, they hold this up, so they've got a reference. And we usually will have someone just highlight this and talk about its importance. Sometimes there's a testimonial to go along with it. But this is always nice to go along with something like an announcement. And like I said, we sometimes have a testimonial. Sometimes we have a promotional video. So we wanted to show you one that we had from last August. We'll create something and show it in church to create energy and interest. You can see it's just something quick and easy just to show how life's better connected. I'm not quite sure why they picked that color blue, but you know, it's a house that's painted blue.
That we do.
And in our group link starter kit back there are a couple of those promotion videos as well, so you'll have those.
Yeah. One other thing that we utilize quite a bit at our churches these days is social media. We'll actually cut a 15-second version of that same video also that we can throw out on Twitter or Instagram and push out that way through the many people that follow our different church channels. And we're constantly telling people and trying to get them to kind of tell their friends through social media too about our events. And we almost look at it honestly like free marketing, but it's becoming much, much more powerful. And also, as you might guess, the younger demographics in our church pick it up a lot quicker than the others, but it's fabulous for just kind of getting the word out there. Another thing that we'll do is we will try to create some sort of a lobby presence especially during group link season. And so if you go out to any of our lobbies after you've come out from our service, sometimes there'll be a booth, sometimes it'll have information on it, sometimes you'll be able to just sign up and register right for group link while you're there. Another thing that we'll do is we'll just try to create some fun element. So we had ice cream at a lot of our churches, so when everybody came out, they got ice cream. Scoops from groups. And so we just do fun things like that, honestly, just to make it a little bit more likable. You guys know, as adult ministries folks, we're kind of the serious folks around the church. We've already got that reputation. We probably don't need more of that. We need a little bit of fun, and we need a little bit of likability, and so that's some of what we try to create through our marketing. Buckhead did actually one of probably the funnest things we've seen in a while, too, this last season, in that as you went out into the lobby, there was a trail of blue chairs kind of mounted to the main wall of the lobby, and they were kind of in single chairs that kind of led out all the way across the lobby until you got to another area where there was a group of chairs in a circle mounted to the wall. And it was just this visual reminder of, oh, wow, yeah. Group links coming up, and different marketing that kind of wrapped around it. And so that was fun. But we will utilize pretty much any channel that we can to kind of get the word out and to tell our church about the different opportunities that come up through group link and short-term groups throughout the year. But we also know that regardless of what channel we use, the best marketing that we ever get is from raving fans. It really is. And so Andy talked about that a little bit this morning too. Whenever we get a chance to capture somebody's story, whenever somebody talks about their experiences in community, those are really the things that convince other people more than anything else to jump into a group. Because folks like Jenny and I, we can stand on stage all day long and tell them to come into group, and they're like, yeah, you're the groups people. You get paid to do that stuff. But it's when the other people in our churches talk about their experiences and the life change that they're going through and that they're experiencing in their group, that becomes probably the most powerful marketing channel that we have.